Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
Yep, I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. So Puma, today, what is the in between? Or is it about life and Jesus?
In between. Well, we are different questions that people have had or things that we've heard where people say, yeah, see, this is a reason why you can't trust the God of the Old Testament. This is why the God of the Old Testament is just not worth following.
Yeah. Right?
And a lot of accounts in the Bible that are just, they're head scratchers, you know, like last week, you know, looking at just God telling, you know, Israel when they go in the promised land, you know, to conquer the promised land and to, you know, conquer the people, the women and children, you know, those are hard things to wrap our minds around. Part of the reason is because we see things from our limited sinful perspective. We don't always see the whole picture or what God sees. And when I say the whole picture, it's not just the whole picture of from my perspective or God's perspective, but also the whole picture in human history, right? We don't see the beginning from the end. We don't see what's happening behind the scenes and the spiritual side of things. You know, we have such a limited viewpoint that we think is the whole of reality. It's pretty amazing, you know? And today we're going to look at another account in the Old Testament, and it's one where, you know, in 2 Samuel 6, where Uzziah touched the Ark of the Covenant and God killed him. Boom.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Right. Because the Ark was falling and he tried to stabilize it.
You know, and I've heard, you know, like, what? Why would God just kill him instantly? That's so, he's trying to keep the Ark from, you know, falling, getting dirty. So that's what we're going to look at. Why is that? Why that makes no sense?
It seems so backwards, right? You want to help. This is where God dwells, the Ark of the Covenant, and it's falling. And Uzziah is like, "Oh no, let me help! You know, catch it." And God instantly kills him. And I think a great fear swept over Israel. Like, that seems like a weird move for the quote God of the Old Testament.
It does. And David's reaction is the same as ours. David got angry that God did that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good question. Well, let's talk about this passage.
All right.
Okay, Puma.
Uzziah.
What a name.
Fun word, yeah. You're going to name your first child Uzziah?
I'm thinking Uzzah.
I hope not.
This is my son, Uzzah.
Uzzah.
But it's spelled Uzziah.
Uzzah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the Ark of the Covenant. Like, what is that?
Yeah, that's the place where God literally dwelt. So Old Testament, right? Jesus hasn't come yet. The Holy Spirit hasn't been unleashed to all the believers. And so God literally had a space and time, if you will, where he dwelt. The presence, the holiness, the majesty of God rested upon the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. And normally it was in the tabernacle, but when they moved, they would, again, very special instructions throughout, you know, Leviticus, the Old Testament law, of how to carry the Ark. You know, you can't go really, can't get close, can't touch it. It has to be on poles. It was a metal, beautiful thing with two archangels on the end. That's what God...
It was a very, very special thing. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, there was the stone tablets. There was a jar of manna inside, you know, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
And it was a holy, it was a very holy thing. It's very easy to, and we do this today, right? So I'm going to, you know, soldiers would go into battle. Well, they make sure they take their cross necklace, right? Because somehow they have a cross necklace with them and they might kiss it, right?
Yeah.
Athletes will do this. We think that somehow if we have this
luck charm.
Yeah, or... this like lucky charm or iconic thing that represents God, that somehow I'm going to show favor to it. And so Israel, in many ways, saw the Ark of the Covenant like that as like their special lucky charm, right? So they're going to go into battle, take the Ark of the Covenant with, because God surely will protect us, right? Well, that's kind of what happened. And lo and behold, the Philistines whooped on the Israelites and captured the Ark of the Covenant.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Captured the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, can you imagine the Israel? They're like, we, in other words, God wants us to do what he tells us to do, not what we think or assume should happen.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, if God says take the Ark of the Covenant into battle, then you take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with you. If God says don't go into battle, then don't go into battle. Even, you know, but they're like, but we got the Ark of the Covenant, we'll take it with. So The Ark of the Covenant gets captured by the Philistines. And, you know, if anyone's interested, they can read, you know, the 2 Samuel, what happened there. And the one Philistine village, you know, God breaks sores and tumors on everybody and all this stuff. And so the Philistines are like, I don't want this in my town. Right. So they move from town to town.
And Dagon fell and broke himself.
They want to get captured the Ark of the Covenant back. So David, they get the Ark of the Covenant back. But what they do is took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on a cart and to transport it on a cart. And they had, you know, oxen.
Yeah, to pull it.
Yeah, you know, on the cart. So, and so this is how they were transporting it, you know, which sounds all fine and dandy, but God had commanded all the way back in Exodus, they commanded them back in Exodus, that only the Levites were to transport the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to carry it. So on the sides, there were rings, and there was poles that went through the rings. And so the way the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported always was to be carried, you know, the Levites carry it, holding onto the poles that are through the rings. Mm-hmm. In other words, they were commanded no touchy touchy, no looky looky, right? Don't touch it. Don't look inside of it.
Yes, this is such a holy thing.
It's such a holy thing. No touchy touchy, no looky looky, right? And that was That's just the way it was. And so they're transporting the Ark of the Covenant incorrectly, not the way God commanded. Mm-hmm. So that was mistake number one.
Yeah, right there, disobeying.
Right. Yeah, the mistake number one. You know what you have though? You have here's what. Says in 2 Samuel, it says, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out and took hold of the Ark of the Covenant because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzziah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we are shocked when someone sins and they instantly die for their sin.
Right.
Why is that?
I think because we don't see that. I think because we know people sin and they live, it seems very odd that someone would sin when we see it all the time and they are instantly killed, as if God has a special grudge against that person or God just flared up. Like, it seems inconsistent.
Yeah, we're very presumptuous people, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do we deserve the grace and mercy of God?
Absolutely not.
No, we enjoy it every day. Mm. And because we enjoy it every day, we think, therefore, we deserve it every day. Mm. And it is our right. God owes us that. And it's very presumptuous. We have we live very presumptuous lives, assuming that my day is deserved and my time is mine and I deserve it. And so when God administers justice at the point of an act of sin, we accuse God of being unloving or God of not being himself.
Right.
Why is that? Is God not being himself, or are we the ones that are off in our perspective? You see, it's we see things very dimly, this side of eternity. You know, sin and the self clouds so much of what we see. And so what is Uzziah's mindset? Uzziah didn't see himself as the source of uncleanness before the Ark of the Covenant. He saw the ground as a source of uncleanness. He thought if the Ark of the Covenant falls, touches the ground, that somehow the Ark of the Covenant and the holiness is going to be
tainted. Yeah.
Because he didn't see himself, his sin, as the source that taints what God calls holy.
It was a perspective. Yeah, that's really interesting. So for Uzziah, it wasn't, what makes the Ark of the Covenant dirty or unclean? Well, to him, it was material things. It was worldly things. It was the dirt. It was the mud. It was the oxen, you know, like it was a very different perspective.
You see, our whole sense of clean and unclean. So I took the garbage can out this morning, and there's something that leaked inside of it. So I had to take it out and clean it. There was a smell and whatnot, because to me it was dirty, right? It was dirty and unclean, and I had to clean it. Now there is a level of clean and unclean when it comes to that, but I put myself in that same category. I don't see myself as unclean. I see myself as a clean person, right? I didn't lie very much today.
Right.
I've been pretty good to people. I haven't like swore, you know, or whatever. We see ourselves as clean people. But the Bible says we are not clean people. We are, spiritual sense, we are unclean people. The only way we are clean is, you know, having our sin replaced with the righteousness of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. But our sin is unclean. And that was Uzziah's issue. He had, and David even had the same, because it says in the next verse that David got angry at the Lord for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but God says this was an irreverent act of Uzziah. This was a not recognizing what holiness and unrighteousness, or holiness and uncleanness, what it really, really is.
Yeah.
And so God is not being unjust. God is not being unmerciful. Mm-hmm. In fact, God was very much loving. Mm-hmm. Because what is that going to say to everyone else? Here's another lesson for everybody.
Yeah.
Of what happens. You know, you guys need to learn that it is not the dirt that makes God unclean.
Mm-hmm. It's
it is sin.
Yeah.
It is sin that is a scar against the holiness of God.
And even Jesus, right? Matthew 15, he tells the people, the Pharisees, it's not what goes into a mouth that makes that person clean, but what comes out.
Right.
It's not food. It's the sin that comes out of our mouth.
Right. Yeah. See, God is just consistent.
Yeah.
Right? He's consistent, and he's consistently trying to help us understand these things. This is why, you know, we read Bible to get to know who God is. Mm-hmm. And it's passages like this in 2 Samuel 6. It's just one small account that people say, see, let's just pull that one right out of the Bible and make God look horrible.
Right.
We can make God look horrible, and we can characterize this scene that God is the one that is unclean. God is the one that is unholy. God is the one that is evil here.
Yeah, it's twisted.
It is twisted. Because Uzziah has good intentions, right?
Yeah.
And why should you get mad at good intentions? If you have a good intention, but it's still sinful, does that make it right?
No. No, it does not. You know, and I think it's such a good perspective for myself to even check myself. Okay, so like, what does it mean to defile something? And on the flip side, do I have a reverence for the holiness of God?
Right.
You know, because, yeah, in my mind, you're right. I'm assuming Uriah had good intentions. I don't want the Ark of the Covenant to get dirty. My heart wants the Ark of the Covenant to look pretty and not dirty. And yet, when we see God through the lens of man, when we reject the clear commandments of God.
When we disobey how he said it should be carried.
Yeah.
No touchy-touchy, no looky-looky inside.
Mm-hmm. Do we see the yuck of sin?
Yeah.
Especially compared to a holy God. I mean, yeah, there's sin everywhere, but in contrast to the Ark of the Covenant, a clear commandment, yeah, I think we forget what dirtiness really is and how disgusting sin really is.
Right. Yeah. And we make God not as high and lofty and holy as he rightfully deserves.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be a good application question, Tori?
You know, I think a good application question, I think for a lot of us, me speaking to me, I think we forget how holy God is and how much of a stench sin is to him. And so I think a good application question for me, for us, for all of us here today is, what actually makes something dirty before God? Does it appear in what we dress, how we look, right, how people see us?
So I am at church on a Sunday morning, I think I'm clean, but that's not what makes me clean.
Yeah.
Or wearing a cross necklace.
Right.
You know, these things don't make me right before God, as if somehow I have kind of a token that basically washes away all the rest of the issues in my life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what is considered dirty to God?
Yeah.
I mean, have we asked that question? Have we thought through that? You know, because I know, again, Jesus, the Pharisees looked amazing before God, and yet they were just whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor James, pastor at my church, he said, actually just this past week, he said, he's trying to appease God by our actions and good acts before men is like washing the outside of a bowl while there is fuzzy green mold inside the bowl and still eating. It's just that picture, like, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
But yeah, it's true, though. Like, what makes something dirty?
And that's it. Our whole perspective of what is clean and unclean, righteous and unrighteous, needs to fall in line with God's perspective.
Yes.
And this is what God is sort of teaching in this account with Uzziah and David. David needed to learn this as well, right? Because David was just as guilty. He didn't call the Levites out to come and grab the poles and to carry the ark the way God intended.
Right.
He was content, right?
Yeah.
And it's very easy to have good intentions to take an easy way, but it's still disobeying. Mm-hmm. It's still a disobedience.
Yes.
And I'm guilty of that in many, many ways.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a good reminder in my own life. You know, what does it really mean to walk in righteous obedience so that I could walk clean before my God?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you, Puma. And thank you guys for following us and joining us on this journey. If you have any questions, please reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. And just again, how can we, as the people of God, seek to see sin and the filth and the dirtiness of it compared to a holy God? And let's fight against that. Let us do our best to see what really makes someone dirty.
Yep.
We'll see you next week. Fridays at 10:10, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.